slow, is on go slow, or can be clarified?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair. I apologize for my voice. I'm recovering from flu. Honorable members, we are members of the National Forum. This is Yansemen, the chairperson of the Code of Conduct and Rules. Briefly, the National Forum was established in terms of the LPA, Legal Practice Act, and its composition is as follows: 8 attorneys, 8 advocates from different bodies, 1 law teacher, 1 legal aid, 1 attorney's fidelity fund, and 2 ministerial appointees. All in all, it's made up of 21 members. The approach of the National Forum is... Within the attorney's profession, we have the BLA, NADEL, and we have representatives of the different law societies. Within the advocate profession, we have the GCB, the AFT, the National... We are a confederation of bodies, yes. And we have 2 ministerial appointees and representatives from the attorneys fidelity fund and a representative from the legal aid. Okay. Our approach in the National Forum is that we have embraced the principles and we still do and objectives of the Act, and then we try to give effect to the provisions of the Act. We are making good progress. It may not seem so to the outside world, but we are. We have developed a good understanding of the LPA. For example, we normally don't vote on issues. We try to convince each other to reach consensus. We recognize the anomalies and shortcomings, and hence we have recommended some amendments which have found their way to the amendment bill, and some will be presented today. The National Forum has already debated, discussed, and came up with recommendations that will be submitted to the minister, which specifically deals with the need to transform the legal profession as it was known then. This committee will receive the submissions in due course. The chairperson, Jan Stemmet, will deal with our further proposals that are not in the amendment bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Jan Stemmet. I'm chairing one of the committees of the National Forum. We've got 4 working committees, and I happen to chair 2 of them. But the one that's relevant today is the Code of Conduct and the Rules Committee, and we also look at amendments that might be necessary. Now, can I just emphasize that we are not looking at ways to find fault with the legislation. We just want to make it work. We have embraced, as my colleague has said, the principles and the ideals of the legislation, but we must make sure that what we take from the existing structures and we transplant it into the new structures is something that is workable and that will ensure that there is no prejudice to the public and to the practitioners out there. And from that, we've distilled some proposals that we've conveyed to the Department of Justice even as far back as 2015, which has only found its way now into these amendments. Now, to come to the amendment bill, we support all the amendments that's in the bill that's before you. We haven't got any problem with it. And some of them were proposed by us for good reason, and I'm not going to dwell on them. The additional amendment that you will find in our submissions, we also feel is necessary to make this thing work. Not to find fault and not to point fingers, but to criticize, just to make this thing practical and to make sure that we've got a smooth transition from the existing legislation to the new one, or the existing order into the new one. And if I can briefly refer you to them, they're all there with the motivations, but if I can just refer you to them quickly and maybe deal with clarifications if there are some later. The first one is that we are seeking an amendment of Section 4 of the Act, and that's the first point in our submission. We want to ask that when the new Legal Practice Council comes into existence, or Chapter 2 comes into existence, which will then establish the Legal Practice Council, that there should be a six-month transition period or overlap between the new Legal Practice Council, which will then only then be elected, and the infrastructure must be found, offices must be found, database. There's a whole shopping list of things that need to be done before that council can function effectively. And for a six-month period, that council must then function. It must also establish the nine provincial councils and make sure that those provincial councils are also capable of regulating. And in that six-month period, the existing four law societies, now this only relates to the attorneys, the four existing law societies that we have in the old four provinces of the country, they must continue to coexist for a period of 6 months. And to make sure that there's no jurisdictional challenges if somebody is being, if a practitioner is being disciplined or whatever, we must just suspend the jurisdiction of the new council until the final part of the Act comes into operation, in other words, after that 6 months. So that's why we are seeking in subsection 2 that council will only assume jurisdiction over the practitioners when section 120 subsection 4 comes into operation. It's all there in the motivation, and it's very clear, but if there's any questions, I will deal with them if necessary. The second amendment that we are seeking is an amendment to Section 25, which seeks to the current Section 25(3) of the Act transplanted the Right of Appearance Act, which requires an attorney to get a certificate from the registrar where he or she is admitted to be able to appear in the High Court or the Constitutional Court or the Supreme Court of Appeal. And we've found that to be very cumbersome, and it's also actually discriminatory against attorneys. Why shouldn't they be able to appear straight away like the advocates are doing? And we were seeking, in our deliberations amongst ourselves, from the attorney side, we were seeking that subsection should be scrapped altogether. But in the end, because the advocates are concerned about the fact that attorneys who may find their way to the higher courts may not have the necessary trial advocacy skills, we've put in this requirement as we worded it here, that an attorney can appear in court immediately if he or she has undergone a trial advocacy training program and, of course, has an LLP and is in good standing. Those are set out there. Now, I know there's a presentation coming later on from the LSSA where they will ask for that scrapping of that clause altogether, but I'll leave it to them. From our side, I will say to you that the compromise we reached at the National Forum is that we can considerably reduce the red tape relating to this issue if the honourable members could accept the proposal that we've set out here in point number 2, subsection A, sorry, point number A that we've got. And then at the bottom of that page, bottom of page 2, you will see there's a paragraph numbered D. It says by the addition of the following subsection. And that relates to the rights of appearance of pupils. Those are apprentice advocates, if I can put it in that way. People who are newly qualified, they've got their LLB and they're trying to become an advocate. And what we are trying to do here is to give them the right to appear, which they don't have at the moment. And it's a real disadvantage because they can cannot appear, they can't gain the necessary experience firsthand by doing representation there, and what is more important, they can't charge fees. So that makes it very difficult for us when we at the national forum have to devise a uniform training standard for the profession, where we want to say the training period for advocates and an attorney, or for pupils on one hand and candidate attorneys on the other hand, should be standardized. We cannot do that because advocates or pupils cannot appear, and they cannot charge fees for doing that. So what we are trying to do here is to introduce a provision that says that the candidates or the pupils can then appear, and they can also charge fees. That will make easier, and it will level the playing field. All the motivations are there in the blocks that appear below that, and we are asking that it should be introduced. There is a provision in the Act that says the new Legal Practice Council must make a rule relating to this. But you can't just confer such a right by way of a rule. You have to put it in the Act, and that's for that reason that we are seeking that it should be... there should be an amendment of Section 25 as we've proposed here. The third one, or the third number that we've got is at the top of page 4, where we are seeking an amendment of to Section 30. Just a tidying up of the provision there, because if we're not going to require a certificate from the registrar for attorneys to appear in the higher courts, then that whole subsection becomes obsolete, and we can do away with 3H, that's 25-3H, that we are asking that it should be deleted, just to tidy up the whole thing. The next one is the amendment to Section 34 of the Act. We are asking that... you will see there the portion that we've underlined there in Romans 2, because at the moment the Act says a partner or a co-director of a legal firm is also liable for any theft, and the word that's giving us problems is that any theft committed during the period or the office of one of their partners. Now if my partner goes and he steals a car, then I'm also liable for that. And what we are saying is that the co-liability should be restricted to theft of trust money or assets. I think it's just an omission, and we ask that those words be inserted there to say that the liability of partners or co-directors of legal entities should be restricted to theft of trust money or assets entrusted to the juristic entity. Once again, it's motivated there, and... we think that it is justified. The next one is an amendment to Section 62 of the Principal Act. Now this relates to the composition of the Board of Control of the Fidelity Fund. And as my colleague has pointed out, we've got a representative of the Fidelity Fund on the National Forum, and I think it is at the insistence of the Fidelity Fund that we are proposing this amendment, because there's going to be a lacuna when the new part of Chapter 2 comes into operation, and there's not going to be Board of Control members at the time. So there's just an overlap period that we need to make sure that the existing Board of Control members can continue to operate or to function until the new board is elected in terms of the new legislation. Now, I know that the Board of Control is also here with a proposal, and I've seen it for the first time today, and I've seen that they are proposing exactly the same thing. All I can say is that I leave the motivation to them, but we fully support what is written here. Otherwise, there's going to be severe prejudice to the public or also to the practitioners if there is no Board of Control for that overlap period. Then the next one is number... there on at the bottom of page 5, the amendment of Section 85 of the Act, and this relates to the issuing of Fidelity Fund certificates. And we are asking that the Act be amended to just to read as follows, that the Fidelity Fund certificate will only be issued, and this is one of the requirements, if that practitioner has discharged all liabilities in respect of fees, levies, charges, and contributions payable by the legal practitioner concerned in terms of this act. We've learned some expensive lessons from the existing legislation. At the moment, if an attorney doesn't pay membership fees, we cannot refuse to issue him with a Fidelity Fund certificate so that he can continue to practice. Now, we find it difficult to collect the membership fees at the moment, and we're sitting with files and files and files of people who refuse to pay, but they demand to be issued with a Fidelity Fund certificate. The High Court has ruled on the matter, and the High Court says we cannot refuse because it's not a requirement of that. So what we're asking is that in the new dispensation, let's make it easier for the new legal practice council. If they have outstanding subscriptions, then they should be able to refuse to issue the Fidelity Fund certificate until the member, or sorry, not the member, the practitioner has complied. The next one is the, and I think that's the last one, number 7, the amendment of section 114 of the Act. We want to just safeguard the position of those practitioners who have got BProc degrees and who already have the right of appearance in terms of the Right of Appearance Act to enable them to continue to appear in the High Court because by now they've gained all the experience that's required. But if we do not recognize their right, they will lose that right when the new Act comes into operation. Section 114 of the Act makes provision for all the transitional arrangements and the recognition of existing qualifications and rights, but this is an omission that we observed, and we found that it's necessary to safeguard that right as well. And in the motivation, we just ask that Section 114 be amended by the addition of that subsection that we've listed there. Mr. Chairman, with your leave, I just want to refer to one or two aspects that were referred to by the National Bar Council of South Africa. That's the first group of people who appeared here before you. We don't agree with them that that insertion of the word practicing legal practitioner is superfluous or unnecessary. It is very necessary. It's an omission for the Act, from the Act. We've pointed it out from the beginning that there is this omission. And as we went along, you must understand that we've been working with this Act now for 2 years. And we meet about regularly, about once a month, to deal with these things. And we should have a fair idea of what is going to work and what is not going to work. And we ask you to accept our bona fides and our good faith in this whole matter. And we say to you that if we don't put the word practicing in there, it's going to jeopardize the public. Anybody will then be able to do those things that is in that particular subsection. That's if you look at page 5 of the presentation of the National Bar Council of South Africa, where they quote section 33. It says there, subject to any other law, no person other than a legal practitioner who has been admitted and enrolled as such in terms of this Act may, in exemption of expectation of any fee, commission, or gain or reward, appear in any court, and the next one is draw up or execute documents. Now, if it's not a practicing legal practitioner, how can that person expect to charge a fee for doing that? It's only a practicing legal practitioner that should be allowed to do that. You can't allow any consultant or anybody who thinks that he or she is qualified to do it, to do that. It must be a practicing legal practitioner that should be allowed to charge fees for appearing in court and for drawing up those documents and instruments. The other point that they've asked for relates to the signing of pleadings by these advocates who are now going to have trust accounts. We're not holding them out, not at all. It's just a pity that these things were not discussed in the National Forum by the National Bar Council of South Africa before they came to you. These things should have been addressed there. Then we should have pointed out to them that their previous representative on the National Forum enthusiastically worked together with us to make a rule, because we are entitled at the National Bar Council, sorry, at the National Forum, to make a rule about this sort of thing. It's actually a rule that is supposed to be made by the council, but as you know, in the Amendment Act, the National Forum now gets the right or the obligation to make these rules. And we've, that power to make the rule, is, you'll find it in Section 95(1)(a)(z)(A). And it says, the council must make the rules relating to those legal services that may be rendered by an advocate as contemplated in Section 35(2)(b). That's the trust account advocate. And then what we went on to do, with the enthusiastic support of the National Bar Council representative on the forum, is to draw up a Rule 33, which says, an advocate referred to in that section may perform such functions ancillary to his or her instructions as are necessary to enable him or her properly to represent the client. Because it doesn't only, that advocate doesn't only need to sign papers. He must be able to issue writs of execution. He must be able to liaise with the sheriffs. And there's a host of things that that advocate must be able to do in order to be a full trust account practitioner. So it's not just the signing of pleadings. And we've provided for that in the Act. We're entitled, the council is entitled to provide for that, and that is taken care of. So I don't think it's necessary to amend the Act to level the playing field as far as that advocate is concerned.
But you see, before you come, for instance, the banking company, quite obviously would not afford them enough opportunity to make their inputs. And then we must take valuable time of Parliament to listen to something that you should have received. And then they are also, you are also described as a chef. Now, you want Parliament to approve what is described as a sham, to give a sham 6 months, and then we are seen as collaborators with sham organizations. And also, you see, the Law Society, you are being accused of targeting black lawyers, that's the gatekeeping, and for a small mistake, they get struck off the roll. And some of these lawyers are brought up by women who sell tomatoes in the street. They take their money, take these kids to school. They make a small mistake, then they are struck off the roll. And why don't you adopt corrective actions and not rush to strike people off the roll? And then asking clerks, if you want asking clerks to be up to the scratch, why don't you give them a sitting in the legal forum so that you train them so that they don't come and make silly mistakes when they're in practice? Why are you keeping this thing to yourself as if it's a holy profession from God, but the practice doesn't seem to be godly in fact?
If I could just come in there, the composition of the National Forum is regulated by the Act. We cannot just invite people.
What I mean is you have the right to propose amendment in your amendment. Why don't you provide for representation of Article Clerk, for instance, law student council, paralegal in the Act? Why is it so selective, which seems to confirm the gatekeeper?
Kutama next to me wishes to address that point.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think the criticism, I'm Mr. Kutama for BLA, but I serve in the National Forum. I think the criticism of the Chairperson is very right, particularly when National Forum were considering the issue of practical vocational training. It's an issue that the BLA have raised, that maybe it's time that we consult students themselves, because amongst ourselves there are those who are arguing the GCB wants to retain the old system of training advocates in another class, training an attorney in another class. The BLA's point is that train them as a legal practitioner. At the end thereof, they will decide, when I apply to the GCB to be a people and I'm rejected, I'll apply to Kutama attorneys to be a candidate attorney. That is access, and that is the importance of this Act. But we're defeated. The second point we are raising, I think It is very unfair for the NBC, unfortunately, to come here and parade themselves as holy cows. They have changed their representation 2 months ago. They came here and want to make a presentation that the attorney's profession is largely represented at the National Forum. That is untruthful. Because in actual fact, the minister currently...
Well, lawyers do tell the untruth.
Yes. and I must advise Parliament that when Council says it's raining, nowadays you must first go and verify whether it's raining or not. It has been proven here. Because it might not be raining. What the NBC fails to tell you that the second person recommended by the minister at the National Forum is Advocate Moroka AC, who is our chairperson. And the resignation of one, not actually the resignation, when Judge Suwendu was elevated as an attorney, the minister has not yet recommended an attorney at that. Actually, currently, we are sitting as 9 advocates plus 8 attorneys. And in actual fact, the only issue that was voted, and the NBC voted for it, it was representation. The attorneys were arguing that we need 70-30 attorneys because of what, no, black, because of what the demographic. But the NBC was arguing for another thing, demographic of the practice of the practicing practitioner. But they come here to, you know, in a shameful manner. And secondly, he does not even serve at the National Forum. But what I've also getting to the National Forum recently, in February, I've realized that practitioners that sit there at that forum, they don't take what mandate from their members. Everybody comes there for his own jacket, or at least the interest of his organization. And it has always been the BLA's point of view that you must come here for the interest of the profession, the public, and South Africa at large. But that is not the issue. The issue here is a retention of a status quo. And that parliament, our point here, after all has been said and done, we want the Legal Practice Council to come. We want Chapter 2 to come into operation with or without this amendment, as we have said. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Majake, Honorable Horn, Honorable Mwani. You see the problem of confederation. So many positions that you are no longer know what you are dealing with. Proceed, Honorable Bongo.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to comment and say that it is quite a few years now that the Principal Act was passed. And since this fifth Parliament started, I don't remember getting the forum to come and make a presentation to us in terms of progress made, challenges, and what is the way forward, and how must Parliament assist them. The first time we're meeting is when they're presenting amendments to a bill. They're meeting us in a form of an amendment to a bill. And now we must interact with the amendment to the bill. And I raised this earlier, that I'm worried that there is no consolidation of the views from the fraternity. And that is a serious challenge for the people of this country and to us as Parliament. And we are very sorry that how do we run government, how do we run the country in that form? Because now we have been described as a shame by a constituent body of the forum itself, a constituent body. Part of what we were supposed to do before you propose the amendment, maybe we're supposed to have a stakeholder dialogue and forums with all these other people, not one-one, because in the forum, in terms of the recent King report, if you're elected in the forum, you don't necessarily go there and represent the BLA. King report is refusing that, saying when you get there, you get to represent the interest of that body. But your role was to go and meet all the other stakeholders in the legal fraternity and speak at least in one voice, because we are now a custodian of the act that was passed. So we don't have a report on what is the progress, chairperson, but we oversight this piece of legislation. And now we need to do amendments. I hear the amendments. I do sympathize with some of these things, but the issue of a practicing attorney or a practicing advocate, it's a matter that you, that is a serious matter. You can't just brush it away. It must be discussed thoroughly, generally. What constitutes a practicing? Because now, from the presentation of the banking, they're now telling us with this, you know, there's something that corporate, what it means, there's no synergy. And if they can, if the forum itself cannot bring that synergy, who's going to bring the synergy? And who's, the forum is expected to push the radical transformation in the sector. That is why we have passed the Principal Act. The reason was, want a radical transformation, as it is the ruling party is saying so. And now, if your constituent member saying you're actually saying that they're saying you're a stumbling block towards transformation, how do we go forward? How do we go forward? And how do you propose to create a synergy amongst yourself with the constituent bodies so that when you come to Parliament, we're able to make things move easier? Like now, I'm also of the view that we can't put a practicing attorney, because a practicing attorney is always strictly limited to those who go to court. There's a superior argument in that argument. How do we get there? Or we just bulldoze and come here, want us to pass legislation, we move and things are still backwards. Because while the people of this country, like the chairperson says, most of those who have studied this law are extremely from poor background, because law is taught in University of Venda also and so on, unlike, so they want to make ends meet, but we're not opening up for that thing. We want a report from yourselves, Ubuti. How far are we in terms of making sure that law graduates are not finding themselves on the streets like we see them? We want those kind of reports so that when we amend legislation, we're able to progressively realize what is in the Freedom Charter. I find it skewed, Chair, that for the first time we interact with the forum, there's no progress report on what are the challenges, because some of those challenges is something that you ought to have told us before, that these ones, they are changing members and so on. The challenges of the forum, they are changing members, what is it, how is the stability, how are we prepared to go to the implementation of Chapter 2? And what is the roadmap towards implementing the entire act? But we're meeting here, we're meeting. We're proposing amendments and on very critical issues. What does it mean to be practicing? What is this? What is this? We must get in there, because, you know, even courts these days, you know what they say? One of very topical issues, when you, they say, go and have meaningful engagements. So what is the meaningful engagement that we have got into? Because from the presentation, I can tell you they will want to take you to court. Because they can't really describe, they're saying a sham. You know what is a sham? A sham pere is something, it means non-existent. Well, sham means something that is of no use. Then what is their recourse? They'll go to court. They'll say these ones are taking these ones to court. Where will be the hope of the people of South Africa if the very important arm, which is part of the judiciary, is not organized and is not able to put things together in a manner that we're supposed to do? I'll stop there, Chair, for now. Thanks.
Now, President P.W. Water, may his soul rest in peace, spoke of the constellation of states. Because you are a constellation of states, you are here as a delegation representing a sector, but you don't agree amongst yourselves, amongst yourselves. And here we are saying we want to create a non-racial South Africa within the legal sector. You are not able to take us far in that direction. But just to, in your defense, to say that on the 1st of August you were invited, but the committee cancelled. But you have been in existence for a long time. So that cannot be an excuse.
I just say that we are bound to
wait a bit. Honorable Majake, Honorable is that one?
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. I've been largely covered by Honorable Bungu, because my concern also is that the forum has been established after the act was actually passed, for you to actually take care of this transitional arrangement. We haven't had any report from you tabled before us. We are just seeing you for the first time today. But just to say that the whole process, because you are the custodian of this transitional arrangement, but it looks like and it feels like the legal profession is not with you, because there hasn't been any proper consultation with the legal fraternity. And I think it's a big flaw, and for you to come in at the stage where we have a bill before us and we're supposed to actually then engage on that bill, it almost feels like you're actually moving backwards. You know, it's not a process that is just advancing forward. I don't know how, Chairperson, we're going to deal with this, because quite evidently there has not been any proper consultation. There should have been consultation, to the extent that even the Banking Association shouldn't have come here before us to actually make the kind of inputs that they've actually made before us. Those inputs should have actually gone to you through a consultative process. By the time you bring the bill to us, it should have been a process that is so defined, that is representative of the sector. But today you actually come in as one of the stakeholders in the sector when you are the custodian, when you are supposed to be the ones that are actually coordinating. Especially when you actually also listen to the whole issue of right of appearance certificates and what needs to happen, you have a feeling that that is a process that needs to be consulted. You are making your inputs, but if there's going to be, for example, if the advocates are going to actually then object to the process, how are we going to actually handle it? And then you're actually saying that the pupils must actually also be allowed right of appearance in court, so that themselves can be in the position to charge fees. But is it something that is in line with their curriculum? Is it not going to be disturbing their process? But if you had actually consulted, you'd in your input indicate how these processes are actually connected, so that their pupillage is not actually affected because of the kind of process that you're actually recommending now. But for all intents and purposes, I think where the big problem is the fact that you exist, but we don't know about you as a committee. There has never been any presentation from you. That could have been some form of recommendations that would then lead to a bill. But for now, it just comes in as a complete process, and then it has to actually then be taken into consideration. I think this is what actually makes this whole process to be difficult. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, they did actually submit about two reports, but they were not reports worthy of tabling here. You know, when we had to transform local government, we established the legal and constitutional forum, and we thought it was going to be impossible because we are dealing with rural Africana towns, with townships, with traditional authorities. But it was wonderful how those traditional people, the conservative Africaners, were able to come together. Today we have wall-to-wall municipalities, and the heavens have not fallen. But lawyers are not able to come together and transform. We still have a constellation of states. I think you need to be assisted, because we cannot debate for another 20 years, give you another 20 years to waste the nation's time. We have to move not able to do it, then we have the popular mandate to do it for you. Honorable Mulwan and then Honorable
Bon.
Honorable
Bon first, then me.
No, no, we don't want that. Why do you raise your hand first?
No, I'm saying that you said Honorable Horn raised his hand first, then
oh,
I did.
Okay, no, because of your seniority, I will allow the young one to go first. Maybe you want to get this process.
Thank you, Chair. Before I raise specific issues in respect of the presentation and the requests made by the forum, I just want to say that I think the criticism articulated by the Honourable Majaki and yourself in certain respects are not fair. The Legal Practice Act requires of the forum to report to the minister, and in turn the minister is accountable to us. So if there was a failure of this committee and parliament to be properly put in a position of knowing what's happening in the forum, then quite possibly it's also our own failure in that we failed to insist that the minister account to us properly.
No, I'm saying they did produce some two reports through the minister which were not worthy of placing before the committee because they didn't say much.
Well, Chair,
so
yes,
no
that unfortunately puts us in the difficult position that you as the Chair decided unilaterally that that's the worthiness or the lack thereof of those reports. And I don't think it's fair of you also to pronounce on behalf of the committee that was indeed the case. But let's leave that there for a moment. The other part of the criticism that I don't think is fair is to say that the forum failed to consult. Also, specifically in the absence of reports in that respect. The way I look at the Act and also the information that's out there in the public domain as to how this forum has been set up, also on the insistence of the minister, it is quite clear that the forum as it stands are representative of the attorney's profession through NADAL, the Black Lawyers Association, the four old apartheid style law societies, the Northern one or the old Transvaal one. The Act still talks of the Orange Free State one, even though we know we took the orange out at some stage, and so on. And that, by implication, means that who serves on the forum is the leadership of the attorney's profession, and the fact that the General Counsel of the Bar and the National Bar Council are represented there, one would assume that they send people there with a specific mandate. And that consultation must also then be cascaded down. So, in the first instance, I don't think there's a specific duty on the forum to go and consult. But secondly, even if there is a duty, one could assume that since the leadership of the different representative structures are there, consultation obviously should have taken place. But be that as it may, Chair, I want to raise two issues which I think must be addressed or must be answered, and that is that the way I understand the recommendations by the forum today would in any event quite probably, and maybe Mr. Bassett could also advise, require of us to go back to the National Assembly to ask that we also look into matters other than those raised in the bill. So we need to be convinced of the necessity to include the proposed amendments from the forum. And in that regard, I specifically would like a comment on the proposed amendment of Section 25 in respect of the appearance and fees for pupils. Because from what is out there in the public domain, my understanding is that the vocational training issue has been one of the big stumbling blocks. And I would assume the proposed amendment today is there to facilitate a consensus position on vocational training. And if that is indeed the case, then obviously we must conclude that this is necessary for the forum to go forward. And if that is the case, then we must go back and ask permission to also include this and look into this. But then the forum must possibly also comment more to the merits of the whether we then must reopen everything, also specifically in relation to the proposals made by the National Council, National Bar Council. We've said when they were here and they didn't respond that we don't necessarily want a rematch if an argument was not accepted or a debate was lost in the run-up to formulating the act. But obviously if we go back to the House, then that might open that scenario once again. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Hon, representativity under apartheid and representativity under a democratic South Africa are two different things. Under apartheid, tricameral parliament plus the Bantu stands were representative. But now under a democratic government, we can have the type of representativity which looks like the first half of the 80s. We set up this forum so that it must facilitate radical transformation of the legal profession. But quite clearly, there's no movement forward, and we want a movement forward because the lack of movement forward affects access to justice, and therefore it's not helpful to this country.
Yes.
Honorable
Chair, sorry, I can't leave that unanswered. I can't leave a situation where you, by implication, accuse me of wanting to perpetuate apartheid. The fact is, all law societies have transformed fully. And in addition to the four law societies being represented on the forum, also Nadel and the Black Lawyers Association is there. So that in itself must facilitate transformation. So that's my final comment on this.
If I agree with you, I say the purpose is to facilitate transformation. But BLA is still BLA, Nadel is still Nadel, the four, as to borrow your words, the four apartheid type law, transal law societies are still what they are, but now we want delivery of a product, and that product is not available. Anyway, you and I can even debate over tea. Let's give Honorable Mbumulwan an opportunity to...
Thank you. I really feel for you, Leslie. I think you are in bigger trouble. Everybody seems to be attacking you. I know the type of work that you guys have to try and transform institutions that have been there and the institutions that have got completely different views. I think the only thing I can say, well, I can't blame you, but I would probably advise you. It is better to bring out your challenges. Come up and say, hey, we've got problems here. You asked us to do A, B, C, and D. We've got problems in doing. You seem to be having different views. However, I for example, I'm told that there are two reports that were made to the minister. I thought you were supposed to report much more frequent than that. I understand why you did not report. Maybe you still have problems. All I'm saying is that if I'm sent by anybody to go and do a job and I've got problems, I think I share those feelings with other people. And we are trying, and I hope that you understand, to try and make one body called type of people called legal practitioners. And as much as possible, that the divisions that were traditionally there are not there anymore. But if we think in terms of where we come from, this division, we stick to it. I think that it is better to share with us your challenges. I don't see, for example, you have got people here who have come to give us their opinion. You seem to say a member of your forum, which is the National Bar Council, you don't agree with them in this and that. You are opposing it. I don't know whether you shouldn't have discussed earlier and so why you probably say this. I don't understand. Shall we take it that these are all independent people? We get the bar, the traditional bar, and then this bar, and you get the law society. We may have different law societies giving different views to us about the particular act of being. These are the problems that we have, and I think that unless you share with us your problem, we'll assume, I don't want to use the word shame, we assume that you do have problems but don't want to share them. The second thing I wanted to say, it seems that some of the, unless I'm making a mistake through you, Chair, the proposals are not only about the bill in front of us. They touch here and there, which is a good thing, to the Act as well, some of the things that we need to look at and change here, which I think is a good thing. If I'm right, if I'm wrong, you can say no. They are only this. Secondly, I think you had also the proposal from other stakeholders. I wish you were the last people to come. Then you'll probably collect everything and probably give us your opinions about each and every one of them, if you have them now. But if you don't have them, we still have time to consult them and sort of stress these things out. Like the corporate lawyers, let me put it say, practitioners, not lawyers, then and others who may want to give some contribution to you, and you sort of say, we had this so and so, but we have got this point and so on. So it might be very helpful. Anyway, thank you very much. I didn't want to.
Yeah, in all fairness, Mr. Shudu Kudama, you tried to say there are problems. You don't agree inside there. Now we have 9 provinces. You are expected to go and establish 9 councils. If the center cannot hold, how in 6 months are you going to be able to establish those councils? Because as Honorable Mpulumwane is saying, our interest is that ordinary people must have access to justice, and lawyers who are supposed to see to that can't even do justice to one another. I don't know. But we will also go back to the minister and say maybe he's placing his reliance on a structure that will not deliver in our lifetime, and we want to see delivery in our lifetime. Do you want to say
something? Yes, Chair. I think the dynamics that have been raised today, I think everybody from the National Forum agrees that some of these challenges that they raise, they have never been raised. If, for example, the National Bar Council have raised this issue that they've raised today, I have no doubt that one of the committee and plenary, which they are part of, will have engaged and will have. For example, we came here with our own view on Section 25, but the Law Society holds a different view, and we allow them on the basis that they fail to convince the entire plenary that we must do away with the right of appearance of attorneys in the High Court. But secondly, when it comes to provincial council, obviously it will not be the duty now of the National Forum. It will be the LPC to make sure that there is elections and the proper establishment of provincial councils. But what this committee must also understand is that the National Forum is doing a midwifery duty. It's just to deliver the baby, which is the LPC, with all the rules and regulations on fees and so on. But as one honorable members have said, we're dealing with entrenched views, status quo mentality, and one will have to say that we cannot blame only the National Forum. The National Forum this year alone has already produced, I think, 3 reports that have been given to the minister. The minister should have, through you, Chairperson, should have said these reports are either shabby, inadequate, or we need further particulars. And we could have done that at all. But today we are here only for a bill, and we have to focus ourselves on that bill. If, for example, the portfolio committee felt that we needed first to account on our activity, we'll have done that. We have got our challenges. There are differences. These are 2 colonial professions, both Athenian, and that too. We are not dealing with fusion. We have not fused. The Act does not speak to fusion. And I think we want to have commonality without within the unfused profession. The attorney's profession still continue to advocate. That's so. That's why the Act still speaks about candidate attorney, people's advocates. In actual fact, that's how it is. But there might be a misunderstanding to think that the Legal Practice Act has fused the profession. That is not so. And who refused that fusion? None other than the attorney's advocate's profession.
I agree.
Thank you.
I agree with you. You know, we had interim structure established by Nelson Mandela and de Klerk. That was not fusion, but those were structures to facilitate fusion.
Yeah.
So you are still in the early 90s, and you are lawyers who are supposed to help us to create a non-racial society. So I think let's agree that this far you have failed, and we need to find ways in collaboration with the minister to help you. It's not wrong to fail, but it's just creating an opportunity to be assisted. So far, you have failed and you have wasted our time.
You said it so well, but ever at your saying you wasted our time, I think it spoils everything that you say.
I stand to be corrected.
Yes.
I withdraw that.
And they have failed, and it's not your fault. It's the kind of process that you are actually having a responsibility for. It's a very difficult process. We want to see the legal profession transform. When we actually developed this piece of legislation, what was also saying was that we need to know how to deal with the old guard. We must say goodbye to the old boys' club. And as long as the old boys' club still continue to exist within the legal profession, it means you are not there yet. As long as you hear black lawyers saying that they are marginalized, they are not taken good care of, we understand that we're not there yet. What is quite evident when it comes to the forum is that you are supposed to be a vehicle towards attainment of the promises that are made within the Act. And part of it could actually also be looking at enabling regulations to make this vehicle to manage to actually get to the direction that is required. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Can we also agree that going forward, we need article clerks, we need law students, we need paralegals to be part of this dialogue to transform, because they have a lot to lose going forward. Maybe you are of my age, you know, the capacity may help you wanting, but the young people can take us forward. We must involve them in this exercise.
There were a few concerns that were raised that I think we must just put in the right perspective, and Poloy Mayor, I just want to address the issue of the pupils.
Are you from Nadel?
No.
Where are you from?
BMA.
Okay, fine.
The General Council of the Bar, but on the side of the Advocates for Advocates for Transformation. I need to address...
Yeah, both of you may give concluding remarks.
Okay. A point that was raised about why we want an amendment in terms of Section 25, and particularly in terms with regard to pupils. Because what has been happening is candidate attorneys get a certain stipend when they are doing their article clerkship, while pupils are expected to go to do pupillage for a whole year without earning anything. We view that as a sort of gatekeeping, which then turns the advocate's profession into an elitist profession, whereby previously disadvantaged people are unable to access. Now, when we want to bring the pupils on par with the candidate attorney, so that even if when we say training should take a year or 1 year, 6 months, they are able to earn a little bit, at least to sustain themselves. That is the motivation behind our proposal to amend.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I must say I'm not as pessimistic as some of the people in the room about what the National Forum is doing. We've been around for, we started working, really seriously working in August 2015, and we've brought out three reports, not two, three reports that were brought out by the chairperson that's been submitted to the minister. And what the minister does that after thereafter with the reports, we cannot be held responsible. But I beg you to again have a look at those reports. The fourth one will be coming through shortly, and you will see that we are making remarkable progress under the circumstances. We have actually gone ahead in some respects. For instance, if you look at the amendment book, it says, in terms of the amendment, that those rules and the draft recommendations that's supposed to be done by the new Legal Practice Council will be done by the National Forum. We've actually done that. We're waiting for the amendment to come through, then we can submit them. So we've done more than that were required from us in some respects. Yes, there are other respects where we are lagging behind. We're still struggling to close the gap on the issue of legal education, because we seem to have difficulty to agree on whether we should have one legal education route or whether there should be separate training for advocates and attorneys. And the jury is still out on that, but we hope to close the gap on that in due course. And then there's also the agreements with the law societies, because we have to agree with the existing four law societies how we are going to deal with their staff and their assets and their liabilities, their buildings, their infrastructure, all of that. And there's an agreement that we have to conclude with each of those law societies, and we're also lagging behind. Those are the issues that's holding us back. But in many other respects, we are making very good progress.
Thank you. Honorable members, allow me to suggest this. We still have two presentations and we have passed four.
Yeah. Yes. Just once more.
Honorable Martin, moderation.
No, I agree for him. Honorable Chair, I think it's very, very important that we must be in agreement on where exactly we are going. You were talking about getting rid of the old system and make one system. Fuse it. This is what you said. Now, the Honorable fair presenter here was saying the act doesn't say you must go that route, and we're not going that route. So the response you are likely to have will be completely different from what you are saying we should do. Even next time, we'll still have the same problem. I think it is important that we look into the act and find out what is it there that is not pushing us towards fusion. And in other words, we must collapse the law society. We must collapse all these structures and have one structure. Are we going that route, all of us?
We will take the report that they have submitted and then look at the report and map up the way forward towards fusion. Because we want fusion. We don't want Bantustan tricameralism. Out and pick up something and come back if we break. Pardon?
Is it working?
Yeah, there's something. You're working so hard.
Is it cold from here or from there?
Yeah, you can just pick up something, come back, and then let's proceed.
Can I check it online?
Not all of us at the same time.
This is working because the other day I was up with the
paper
yesterday.
Too big for me.
Let me see, maybe it's not possible.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. I am Madiba Strike. I'm the chair of the Attorney's Fidelity Fund. With me is Mr. Molefe Mutasi, that is Mutasi Molefe, the CEO of the fund. Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. We are approaching this committee with a proposal to amend Section 62 that deals with the composition of the Board of Control going forward. We are quite aware that for us to, or for this committee to can do that, we have to resort to Rule 2864C of the National Assembly Rules. Without further ado, Chair and Honourable Members, Rule 2864C of the National Assembly Rules. We are quite aware that the bill has been introduced for quite some time now. Then, unfortunately, for it to have effect, we have to resort to that rule. Be that as it may, Chair, Mr. Molefe, the CEO, will do the presentation on behalf of the board. Thanks.
Chair, good afternoon, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We, as the Chair has already pointed out, are perfectly aware that we are not dealing with the bill in front of you, but we are specifically asking of you to look at the amendments that we are proposing because of the absolute necessity to ensure that the operations of the fund in the new era of the Legal Practice Act continue in sync with the establishment of the Legal Practice Council and the regional councils, etc. As you are well aware, we are a fund basically established for the protection of the public. A few years ago, I had the privilege to address the self-same committee regarding certain issues that emanated from the bill, which we felt would be transformative in nature and enable the fund to be more proactive in public protection per se, but also in ensuring that regulation continues to be supported at optimal levels. We were particularly appreciative of the fact that some of the input we put before the committee came through in the final act itself. What we did not realize, though, is that within the act as it stands today, there are no transitional arrangements that will ensure that there is no gap between the old board as constituted in terms of the current Attorneys Act and the new Legal Practitioners Fund Board, which will be constituted in terms of the new Legal Practice Act. Now, the genesis of the request is in Section 111 of the Legal Practice Act. Section 111 of the Legal Practice Act indicates in general terms that the assets, liabilities, obligations, etc. of the current board as constituted and the board itself and its subcommittees will cease to exist on the day proclaimed by the President by way of Gazette in terms of Section 124 of the Legal Practice Act. Essentially, if the President was to get up today and say, this is the time when I say this board ceases to function, there is no new board that will take over. And you know, from a governance point of view, management cannot run solo. There must be oversight, and oversight lies in the board. But that's one element of the request. The other is more functional and even more important. It is based on the new powers that are now vested in the fund and obligations that it has to carry out in the new dispensation. The first thing I want to talk about is the financing of the Legal Practice Act, a council, in terms of Section 22.1b of the Act. Now, this current board as we have it, as we see it today, has got no power whatsoever in terms of the new Act to make that allocation to the Legal Practice Act. Let's say the Legal Practice Council is constituted today. The current board would not be able to exercise their right as given to it by Section 22.1b to make an allocation towards the regulatory functions of the Legal Practice Council. So you can have the structures, but they will not have the money to regulate, essentially, purely because of that gap specifically. The second issue that I want to address that is important is in terms of public protection. One of the issues that we raised with this committee was, let's have enhanced oversight over trust accounts that are used to keep public funds. And the Act grants the fund the power to inspect books of account of attorneys going forward. Again, that's another power the current board does not have. And as such, if you were to have the practice council come into play tomorrow, it would be basically, again, something it would not be able, the current board as constituted, be able to carry out. Then there is a third and more important issue why we are looking at Section 62 in particular. If you look at the definition of legal practitioner in the Act, it talks about a legal practitioner as being an advocate and an attorney who are admitted in terms of Section 24 and 30 respectively. Then you go to Section 62 and look at Section 62. Section 62 defines the people who will sit in the board of the Legal Practitioners Fund in the future. And if you look at it, you will see specifically that in the manner the legal practitioner is defined, even an advocate would actually be part of the board of what is known as the Attorneys Fidelity Fund today. So there is no distinction except that the advocate with a fidelity fund is specifically pointed out to be a party that must be a member of that board. And we do not believe that that was what was intended, because advocates in any event do not have an interest in the fidelity fund. They have made no contribution, and they would still not make any contribution going forward except attorneys and advocates with a fidelity fund certificate. So the key request coming through from the fund is that these two are so critical to what is coming in the future that we have to request you to look at this bill that you have now, which we concede with immediate effect has nothing to do with what we say, but have the wisdom to actually look into the fact that if you do not concede to going back to the National Assembly on these two issues that we raised, then there will be a gap in the regulation, because fundamentally the board will not be in a position to subvent regulation going forward. And secondly, oversight in terms of public funds in trust accounts cannot be maintained properly because there will not be sufficient funding for that purpose. So that, in a nutshell, is essentially the reason why we are proposing the two amendments.
I think what is comforting is that we have brains that can sort out our problems. Maybe we are just not harnessing these brains, and it's time that we need to do so in the interest of all. And thank you very much, Chair, for being organized, for knowing what you want from this committee, and that will take us forward. Honorable members, anything?
We're talking dollars here, billions and billions of rands that are likely to be lost from the fidelity fund. Are we in good? There are problems. You made a comment by saying the advocates who in fact never contributed into the fund. Is that mainly the problem? Is the fund a... Let me put it this way. I'm not an attorney, just declare. I'm a corporate lawyer. but there is an interest that is being generated by the law society, if I may state it, by the fidelity fund. Isn't that not so?
Interest is generated by attorneys, and it's paid over to the fund via the law societies.
Correct. It's generated by attorneys
specifically.
Correct. And that is, how much of it is it benefiting to the ordinary public? I'm trying to place this money, because it seems that, am I making a mistake? I stand to be corrected, sir. I don't claim to know much. I want to find out
the bone of contention, exactly where the problem is. And we need some assistance. We want to work towards Houston. We have got problems because we have had law societies that have been there and the Fidelity Fund that has made billions, some, not really. And the question, is it that money that is the problem? Is it, what exactly is it? Can that amount be transferred to this new entity and let these people who are here? No, point is not yet made. You can assist me in making a point, but I'm not finished, but let me let you.
I have to respect the time and the health of the people in this meeting. We still have another presentation. Can you make the point quickly? Honorable Majaki.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what is good about the presentation of the forum is that they've actually also indicated this is one of the areas that they are going to actually be dealing with in terms of the transitional arrangement that is required, the 6 month period that they talked about. Of course, these are challenges, but they just need to be taken good care of, and I'm just thinking that the forum has actually been to it, what has been presented as possible for them. The one of actually financing the new council and the monitoring of the books of attendance and all of that. I think it's part of the general transitional arrangement, because what was good out of what the forum has actually presented was the fact that they understand their role in terms of being the custodian of that transitional period into the council. And part of it that has mentioned is the Fidelity Fund.
You don't refer anything to the forum. I think they know where the challenges are. You can make a submission directly to us, not to the forum. Honorable Mula?
Yes, I did want to find out before I was stopped. Sorry, it's difficult for us to keep.
No, that's proceed.
Correct. The amount that is, I was talking about, the quite of interest and so on, it seems that how much of this money is there to protect the public, really? Is it mainly for law societies? You know, this fund, how much of it is actually assisting the public? More than, yes, I'm going to give you time to answer, more than it is to enrich, if I may use those words, the different law societies. Because this is what I say, they are piling a lot of money from generation to generation. And I have a problem. I would think that this is public funds, and that public funds can be transferred to another organization, which is a new organization that is taking over. And what are the problems in doing so?
Thanks, Chair. We should indicate clearly that the existence of the fund is solely for public interest. The funds accumulated there are only to serve the public where members of the profession, their attorneys or so, or their members have misappropriated the funds that were not due to them. Then they make an application to the fund and we reimburse the public. Law societies will be assisted in their projects, but it's not existing for the law society. It is existing solely for the members of the public.
It can be
that, right? Yes, that is what's good.
That's correct. The power and knowledge. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You are well excused. Law Society of South Africa.
Thanks, sir.
Well done. Yeah, but please
communicate with us. We want solutions. We don't want people to own tabs. We want solutions.
good afternoon. Thank you very much. It's Walid Brown from the chairperson of the Law Society of South Africa. And I'm joined by Mr. Sigogo. He's the president of the Black Lawyers Association, a constituent member of the Law Society of South Africa, and is also the president of the Law Society of the Northern Provinces, also a constituent member of the Law Society of South Africa. Now, we do. I am the chairperson of the Law Society of South Africa. It is made up of the four provincial law societies. Now, the four provincial law societies. Yes. The four provincial law societies are also made up of BLA and ADAL, but on the Law Society of South Africa, you also have representatives from BLA and ADAL. Now, it's just two things that I want to touch on before I get to my quick presentation on the amendments. The one is that the impression mustn't be left here today that the legal fraternity has not been trying to transform or to increase access to justice for the public. Just in terms of the statistics that was given today, since the dawn of democracy in 1994, we've been able to improve from a situation where we were 90% white and 10% black to a situation where we are now 60% white and 40% black. And in terms of male-female representation, there is 60% male, 40% female. So whilst there's still a lot of work to do, there has been some progress that has been made. The second issue that just needs to be touched on is in terms of the Legal Practice Act itself. You know, questions have been asked as what have attorneys been doing for the last 2 years? There's a lot of work that has been done. I want to just concur with the National Forum that they've been working on this act since 2015 on a weekly, monthly basis. There isn't a week that goes by where there isn't a meeting in regard to this particular act. We are currently on the cusp of electing the Legal Practice Council. We have made substantial progress in regard to having an election so that we can elect a new Legal Practice Council and move to this new dispensation. Yes, there are problems in getting there. There are material problems, and there have been material fights. And those fights boil down to two things. One, the Act is unfortunately in certain respects unclear as to what exactly it requires. And two, there are certain parts of the profession that, at least in the view of the Law Society of South Africa, are a little bit obstructive to change. And my focus there is primarily on our colleagues at the General Council of the Bar. In material aspects, we have come to loggerheads with them in regard to access to justice, which I'm going to touch on, and in regard to uniformity of training. Now, the chairperson has touched on one very crucial aspect that's very important to the attorney's profession, and that is the fusion of the profession. It's something we've been fighting for 15 years in terms of this Act. Unfortunately, the Act is not with us on that particular issue. We would like the Act to be. The way we are trying to get past the wording of the Act is by saying that at least give us uniform training so that when a student comes out of university, there is one set of training, and when that pupil is finished, then he can decide, I want to be an advocate or an attorney. And if he fails at either, he can simply go to the Legal Practice Council and say, now I want to go back, I want to try my luck at something else. That is submissions that we've made to the minister. The problem is, why we haven't come to this forum, is that there is no deadlock-breaking mechanisms in the Act that says, if you can't agree with something on with the advocates, this is how you must do. So what we do is, we make proposals to the minister. Those proposals, you have. And I would urge you to take a look at those three proposals. See what the proposals of the attorneys are, see what the proposals of the advocates are, and there you will see what the problems have been. Now, the two main submissions we're making here today is one that the National Forum just made, and that is about Section 25. Now, the main purpose of this Act is to increase transformation of the profession and access to justice. Now, this particular section speaks against that. What it is doing, it is reversing the gains that we've made since 1994. When 1994 came, an attorney couldn't act in the High Court, only an advocate. And you ask yourself, why? When a student graduates with an LLB, they graduate exactly the same degree. But the advocate, because he calls himself an advocate, can appear in the High Court. The attorney can't. Then there was an act in 1995 that changed all that and says that an attorney that has an LLB can apply exactly the same like an advocate to the registrar of the High Court and he can appear. And attorneys have been appearing in the High Courts of South Africa, the Supreme Court of Appeal, and the Constitutional Court since 1995. Now, we can't reverse those gains. Now, the current wording of the section tries to reverse those gains and says, Mr. Attorney, even though you've got the same degree as your advocate friend, you must practice for 3 years. You say, oh, that's not access to justice. Now, one of the biggest complaints about attorneys is what is fees. Whenever you hear, they speak about the law profession and say access to justice because fees are so high, people can't afford. But what they don't say is that 80% of that fee they're talking about is the advocate's cost. This parliament should know that when you brief counsel, go look at the bills. You see the bills of the attorney, 20% of the total bill, the advocate's 80%. Now what this section speaks to is to allow the public to go directly to the attorney and the attorney will act for them in court. That's what has been happening since 1995. Now, to change that, it means that every time a matter goes to the High Court, you must use an attorney first, an advocate, to join that attorney unless that attorney has been practicing for 3 years. Now, at the National Forum, we debated this issue. And the debate of the Council of the Bar is that, hold on, we can't be certain that this attorney that is appropriately skilled. They didn't first go do a trial advocate. Well, that's fine. They don't have a problem with that. But then the pupil must do the same. At the moment, there's no requirement for the pupil to do that. We say, let's standardize the training. Keep the training the same, and what you will do is the bar will fuse, and access to justice will increase. That's the one thing. Then the second issue is the issue in regard to foreign qualifications. You know, Southern Africa, the SADC region, is important to South Africa. We must have a situation where some of our brothers in the SADC area who are appropriately qualified do have an opportunity to practice law in South Africa. At the moment, the Act doesn't allow for that. And that's something important. You know, our history with regard to the SADC nations is a history of joint struggle. We shouldn't now change that. My colleague here was recently in Nigeria at a conference. And one of the biggest issues that they asked is, you know, when? In the future, what is it going to hold for our compatriots who come there, who qualify in terms of who are able to practice? Is there something in the new Act that allows us to change them? The current Act doesn't, and we're saying that should change. So the quick proposals that we are making in terms of paragraph 14 of our submissions is that in section 25.2 of the LPA, and the whole of sections 25, 3 and 4 must be deleted. And recommend that in section 25, 5, the word candidate attorney must be candidate legal practitioner. Because we don't want to talk about attorneys and advocates, we talk about legal practitioners. Whereas one will specialize in litigation, but at the end of the day, they must have commonality in terms of standard of practice. Now, obviously, I can already see one of the questions is, why now? Law society. Why are you coming now with these issues? I don't have an answer for that. All I can tell you is that the Legal Practice Act has asked a lot of questions of us. If there's a myriad of problems in it that have had to be negotiated since 2015. There are a lot of problems that we have overcome. And here and there, we thought that there was commonality and agreement only for particularly the advocates to say, no, we don't agree. Then we are faced with a deadlock. Now, this particular section on 25.3, at the last sitting of the committee of the National Forum, we had thought we had got an agreement. When the document that they presented came out, the attorneys and particularly the BLA took said, oh, well, a lot of our members are going to be prejudiced. It was only after they concluded their meetings that we decided, okay, fine, we'll have to make our own submissions on behalf of attorneys. We can't just leave it at that. Those are my submissions. I believe my colleague has a couple of things to say.
Mr. Brown, you vindicate my view that brains we have, we just need to harness them to find solutions. Thank you very much. That's very pertinent issues you are raising.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got only two issues to raise.
which I think they will be of assistance to this committee. They mainly talk to the problems which could be faced by the profession in terms of the bill and also in terms of the main act. I'll start with the bill. The section 6 of the bill proposes to introduce section 97.6, subsection 6. In terms of section, this subsection 6, it indicates that the from the time of recommendation by the National Forum to the minister, to the minister about the regulation, there should be at least 6 months before the Chapter 2 comes into operation. And this causes a problem because currently, if we read the Principal Act says from the date of Chapter 10 coming into operation, Chapter 2 will come in after 3 years. So this 3 years expires next year, 31st January next year. But if now we come and read Section 97.6 as is introduced by the bill under Section 6, then we are going to move that 3 years. So then there's going to be an extension. If the recommendations are made in December, so then it means Chapter 2 will come in June or July. So then the implementation of the Act is going to be extended, and I don't think this was intended. So it should be looked at and make sure that we stick with the initial period of bringing the Chapter 2 within 3 years of the of Chapter 10. And this also has implications because if we check Section 97, as it is also amended when they introduce the issue of that the National Forum and the Law Societies must negotiate the date on which the transfer will take place. It says it will be within 6 months from the date of Chapter 2. So also it means it is also again to be postponed by 6 months. So we can find ourselves in 2019 without the implementation of the Act if this provision is not looked at. The other problem which we see is in respect of the current Attorneys Act. The Attorneys Act, Section 60, says the alienation of the immovable assets of the law society should be done after resolution by the members of the law society. So it means even if the law societies and the National Forum could agree on transfer of the current assets to the LPC, if members of these law societies in their general meeting or AGM could say no, then there could be problems. So I think the bill should also find a way of addressing the issues which are in terms of Section 60 of the Attorneys Act, so that mandate or that resolution of the members should be done away with, so that the assets of the law societies should be transferred to the LPC. And the other issue which is a problem in respect of assets, Chairperson, is that we know in terms of Section 97, it says the law 97.2a, it says the law societies and the National Forum must negotiate and reach agreement in terms of transfer of assets, among other issues. So if there's no agreement as to which assets are to be transferred and they do not reach consensus, then it means assets may also not be transferred. And I don't think it was the intention of the legislature to say the negotiation means which assets to be transferred, but maybe how those assets should be transferred. And we think then this committee should zoom in and give direction in that respect. I thank you, Chairman.
You are such a good team. Mr. Bassett, maybe the problem is in the department that you don't have capacity. Because here are brains, and these people know what they're talking about. They know what the solutions are. Where is the problem? Why are we not moving forward? The report has been submitted to the minister. Where is the problem? Because these gentlemen know what they're talking about.
There's a capacity. We do. We've got lots of legislation that we're dealing with. But, Chair, maybe before the honourable members engage, the last two issues that were raised by Mr. Sigogo, I don't think they're on the presentation. And that would be useful if we could get that. I think they're very important issues that he's raised, and and we don't have the benefit of that, that in writing. And if we could ask to get that out, it would be very useful.
Can you put together a dedicated team that we can point at and say this team is dealing with this matter, and then we draw on this expertise, and then we really move forward? Actually, we don't even have much to do. I think the inputs that are coming shows we have quality inputs, we have learned people who can take us where we want to go. Honorable Bongo and Honorable Mutapa.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. What I wanted to say, Chair, was it may be important, I think, what we are raising. Because what we are lacking now is a coordinated structure that begins to bring everyone together. So somebody must be able to bring everyone together so that these things are canvassed at that level, so that when we come to Parliament, we don't find people talking in different languages. Obviously, some of the things we'll have to converse them amongst the profession itself. But when we talk about the transformation, we appreciate what you say has been transformation. But the transformation of the sector, we have to change the structure of the sector. Its management, its control system, and the pattern of doing things. I think that's what we must be able to be seized with, particularly maybe as led by the department, but your contribution will be very important around that issue, because the whole structure must be able to change. Otherwise, we may say we are transforming, but the transformation is not even noticeable because the structure is the same. Issues like the language is still Afrikaans. Everywhere, you see. So you need a thoroughgoing transformation. You see. I have a different view. I think we'll have to be convinced, because what I see on TV, sometimes they will say a constitutional expert must comment. And the constitutional expert is some professor who studied elsewhere. And he comments about the Constitution of South Africa, which I don't think, with due respect, he also understands its background and context. If now we were to take somebody who studied in the other country and say you want to accredit, to what extent? Because there must be some, it cannot be one size fits all. The laws are different. The law elsewhere is different, here is something else. The procedure is also different. Like in Mozambique, for instance, their law is something else from the procedure, from the where the arrest start. So, you see, we must get these things fully paid, and we must get our house, ourselves in order, because ours seems not to be in order. So if we were to bring the other thing, there will be a confusion of the law. If there's a confusion of the law, what will happen in the country? We'll have serious problems. I think the issues that we are raising around Section 25, those deletions, I think Advocate Bassett, I'm sure you will apply his mind on those kind of issues. But I think of importance, that is very important, that we want to see uniformity in the legal fraternity. Uniformity is what we want to see. We don't want to hear this one saying this, this one saying this. The law society, now you see there is a problem of this time. A 3-year period. Others want to extend it, obviously. There's no one view about it. Others saying, they've presented here, say, extend that period. But we are of the view that we must not extend the period. So then your parliament will be confused, because we're here to take in mind, having the fact that you have done a thorough consultation yourselves, because you are respectable bodies. So if a respectable bodies will come before the Committee of Parliament with different views, it does not reflect a good society and a good country. Because we've got, so we are lawyers, we are expected to be giving direction. When I was still a student chair, you could not be an SRC president if you're not a lawyer, because they think lawyers are the ones who can provide direction and leadership. This is what we expect from this fraternity. And I can promise that we are going to get harder from today onwards, given the impulse. We are going to be harder so that we really give the transformation that the people of this country needs. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. And also would like to align myself with what the Chairperson and Advocate Bassett has said regarding the last two issues which you made mention of. They are very, very important. I think we will assist us as a committee in reaching the conclusion. But I've got very serious concerns. You're the president of Law Society of South Africa, isn't it?
The former transfer of South Africa is this one.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. So you have 6 constituent members, and I understand you also serve in the national forum, isn't it? You have NADEL, Black Lawyers Association, and the 4 law societies, the Capes, all the Capes, Eastern, Western, and Northern. And then it's Law Society of Northern Provinces, which is the inland provinces, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, and Gauteng. Then you have KwaZulu-Natal, Free State. So you are also part of the National Forum. And what I would like to know, like the, because the Bar Council will think we have been very harsh on them. I think they also serve in the advocate Matthew Clay, is also serving in the National Forum. And I think even some of you, all of you, is serving in the National Forum. Haven't you canvassed some of these issues in the National Forum? And what was the reaction? Another issue I'm very much concerned, you are representing a very big constituency consisting of law, young lawyers, attorneys, my apologies, and women in particular. But only in this delegation, unless maybe I'm blind, I can't see any, you know, nicer voice here.
No.
Hey. So I know we have very progressive women in the Law Society of South Africa, as much as you are. So I don't know, can you comment on that? But generally, the representation, especially in regards to transfer of assets, to me was very, very progressive. I'm just stuck by the issue of the Section 60 of Attorneys Act, which will need all these constituents, the law societies, to consent in relation to the transfer of those assets to the council. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Ntumulwane.
Thank you very much. I really agree with you on the question that what has been given to the Law Society, that they can go to the High Court, cannot be taken away. I think in the same breath that what should be given to advocates to do the work of attorneys should also be given. What is, I think, is good for the goose is good for the gander. And I don't think the law society wants to go and grab what the advocates have and they don't want to give in I want your comment or as far as the submission of one of the bar associations that were here said. However, second point, and think I want to say I agree that the point that the last two points that you raised are very good, and I want to say through you, Chair, that people should be allowed to give more submissions. Any of the people that are here and those that are not here, any of the submissions, they are very, very good. We wish to get as many as possible to tap on the brains of the nation. And that, I would be happy to get that. What I want to find out about the Law Society, I think you've got problems. You still have four Law Societies, provincial, and you call them provincial, but we have got 9 provinces. I tried to say, scratch myself, is it me who is hearing this? 4 provinces, provincial, when there are 9 provinces. The Constitution talks about 9 provinces, you say 4 provinces. I'm not saying you're not transforming, but I'm saying the rate is not as fast as possible. Now, secondly, I want you to find out from you, and please come up, even if you can write this down, your road to fusion, road to transformation, road to fusion. If you can just have that topic and say, this is how we're going to do it and how it should be done and how we're going to transfer our assets to this new body or not, or we're going to wind out our body, divide our assets among the members who are present here, and so on and so on. We want to find out what is your road to transformation, to fusion, because what we want, we don't want various organizations which divide us. We want one thing and see how we can do that, tap on that. And I'd be happy to be there. Thank you.
Although they talk about 4 provinces, inside you will find Botswana, you'll find Bisho, what is this thing? The Bantustan still exists inside there, and assets cannot be a problem. You know, the banking societies are very educated people. They can move in and sort out this thing. And why should people hoard the property? I think we must begin to say, we are one country, we want a solution that takes South Africa forward, and I think we find that everybody is ready to assist. But this was actually very revealing, because now we know where we stand, we know what needs to be done. As Democrats, we want to urge you to get together, and as Honorable and properly put it, give us the road to fusion. But the ultimate thing is access to justice by our people. We can, at the end of next year, we can't be where we are now. We cannot be. And we are convinced as this committee that we have the requisite brains to deal with the world, and then roadmap can be put together, and the department doesn't actually even have to have all the capacity required on Earth. They can draw capacity from the different stakeholders, but let's put the interests of our people first. Honorable, let me take Honorable Matthias first. He has been so peaceful. Wow. Maybe he has been hatching a final solution.
Well, thanks, sir. Well, I think I must make some contribution, especially now that we are entertaining the society. I know of no any other legal body well-known, like, law society. I wonder what is it that they're doing. But before you even can apportion blame to what they're doing or question what they do, as if they have to explain the existence, we should proceed from the standpoint that the superstructure informs and shapes the base. And in this case, Parliament is a superstructure. The executive is a superstructure. And all other components of the state, as well as society, such as the law society, are the base. We are the superstructure. So the question is, what is it that the superstructure can do? Now, the pertinent questions. One of the of the question that perhaps is relevant for, you know, a body like law society is, what is their role overall in the transformation trajectory? What is the role that they play about the briefing patterns between advocates and attorneys and senior counsel? Because there's been a huge outcry from emerging black advocates and attorneys about the briefing pattern between by legal firms, especially predominantly that are white. So there should be an answer that comes from them. Just as startup. But then, Chair, you keep on reminding us that we've got brains that we must use. And the father of Marxism, Karl Marx, asked, what distinguishes a bee from a man? And he answers his own question. He says, a man leaves his structure in his mind before he leaves it on the ground. Whereas a bee lifts up its structure on the ground without lifting it up, because it does not have a brain. He gave. So, now, my question is, if this is how we distinguish ourselves from animals, but they can be so industrious like a bee, what stops us to transform the legal fraternity in this country? If indeed we do have brain to think, brain that enables us to lift our structure up in our minds before we leave them on the ground, 23 years. Now, the superstructure informs and shapes the base. I read lately the exchanges between the Secretary General of the ANC and the President of Zimbabwe about what he said, the President of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe. And there is an idiom in my language, hearing, there's no truth that can be said by a dying man. I guess that he will live for the next 10 years. He says, in his conversation with the then president of the ANC, Oliver Tambo, back in the days, he asked him, what is it that in South Africa are fighting for? Because we in Zimbabwe, we are fighting for total liberation. Oliver Tambo says, the British gave us the legal framework in 1910, the Union of South Africa. All what we want is assimilation in the system. And this process is about assimilation and not the reconstruction of the system of the fraternity that will inform the reconstruction of society as a whole. And I will not blame it on them, but I put this challenge to the ruling party.
Tambo would never.
At least Robert Mugabe is older than all of us. And he might have interacted with O.R. Tambo more often and more frequent than all of us here.
I think let me answer that. I think you should. I don't think it is correct to say Oliver Tambo said that. I don't know. I stand to be corrected. I don't know where he's been quoted. However, I just wanted to say, Daddy, on this road to this thing, can we get them through you? Can they be so that we have the whole package and discuss the whole package.
Yeah, the practice here is that when you make submissions, the door is open that you can submit additional submissions to our office, the committee secretary. Please elaborate and take advantage of that to propose a roadmap, a way forward, and so on. Did you want to say something?
To say that we want to welcome the presentation. Very valuable, and indeed I would actually concur with my colleagues who are actually saying that we need to identify the challenges and the solutions. But I think also within the department, Chairperson, we need to see capacity that can manage to pull this thing together. So that, you know, all of these inputs that have actually been brought here today, some of them are not related to the bill that we're actually discussing, but they've got to do with the Act itself. All of this needs to be pulled together because at the end of the day, we need to actually come up with a solid process that would actually manage to help us to realize the goals of transforming, restructuring, regulating the legal profession in a way that actually removes all of these, the problems that have actually been experienced, especially by black lawyers in the past, so that they can be in the position to manage to participate freely within the legal profession. And also it just depends on when you put up systems as to who you put in those systems. Because to some extent, sometimes you find that you put the jackals to cut the chickens and you actually expect to get good results. Because for now, with the kind of progress that has been made, nothing much has actually happened. And we need to start asking our questions, ourselves questions as to why it's not happening. Which means we need to have a closer look at our own processes and make it a point that we come up with systems and mechanisms that actually manages to make this whole thing to work. Otherwise, it will actually end up being just a waste of time. Your inputs are very good, and indeed, I'm sure you need to actually make additional submissions, especially the transitional arrangement about also the issues of assets and dissolutions and things like that. But I think for the department also to be in the position to manage to assist us in that regard, because the question I'm asking myself is, to what extent is the new arrangement going to manage to nullify the old? And if there's a gap there, it means we need to actually manage to address it.
Honorable members, thank you very much. I tried to follow the understanding of transformation by all political parties. I think Tambo's version is the finest I have seen. I'm not surprised that he and Joe Mugwena were the best mathematicians that this country has produced. Honorable Matthias, I will invite you to coffee so that we can talk about Tambo. Maybe it can be beneficial to all other parties, including yours. I think this brings us to the end. And this session only shows that together we can do more. That all the contributions contribute to one building. So let's harness all of them and make sure that we effect a radical transformation of the legal system of this country so that access is accessible to the ordinary person. Otherwise, this democracy will never mean anything in our lifetime. The files that you have, honorable members, are relevant tomorrow. The submissions are in there. Bring them, your files again. We start at 9:30. You are excused, but please, by the not later than the 15th of next month, we must have the additional submission.